Bush and Richie with your Daily Takeaway podcast. And it's a welcome back. We've missed you, Bush. It's lovely to be reunited. Awkwardly, though, I do need to ask you, every time we speak on this episode of the podcast, and I'm looking at you as we chat, I'm seeing what looks like a nasty burn on your arm, and I have to ask, how did you get that?
Well, do you know what? It's funny you should say that. I burnt my arm trying to make pancakes for the kids on Pancake Day. Bit of a nightmare of a pancake day up in Northumberland.
How? I'm really sorry. How does anyone get a burn halfway up their arm when making pancakes?
So, you know when you make food or you try and cook and do your thing at other people's houses?
It's
never quite right. So it was up at Katie's folks. The two youngest ones wanted pancakes. I said, I'll make you pancakes after tea. I thought this would be easy. No problem. Made my pancakes countless times for them. Anyway, Katie's dad brings out this kind of Gordon Ramsay-esque silver stainless steel pan that heats up to about 2,000 degrees in 2 minutes. And I'm trying to do me pancakes in it, and every single one is burning and literally welded into this pan. I'm out in the kitchen, effing and jeffing. It's terrible.
I can imagine this.
Oh, I was losing it. So the third pancake had gone for a Burton, right? So I put it in the bin. I was like, God's sake. Went and thought, right, I'm going to wash this off again, stuck it in the sink, and then went to turn the tap on, but put my arm across the corner of the pan. Oh. Of course, it's one of them pans where the entire thing heats up. And I've given myself what... I think that's going to be... I always take the mickey out. My mum's always got burnt arms and then burnt tops of thumbs from getting stuff out of the oven. Yeah. I've turned into her.
That's going to smart.
Jerry Bush.
That is genetic, isn't it? Like, it's obviously a part of your DNA that you burn things whilst getting stuff out of ovens.
Yeah, I've got it from my mum.
Silver frying pans. What's the point?
I mean, we've had, as you're about to hear, a big discussion about pots, pans, and dishwashing.
So, it's a strong return.
Strong return. A little hors d'oeuvre of what's to come. But I don't know, what are the point in those pans? Because we were talking not that long ago about both getting spammed with messages for hex pan or whatever.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, hexclad stuff.
Hexclad, stuff that heats up to 2,000 degrees. But yeah. I know those pans look good and it makes you look like you're Michelle Roux Jr.
Do you know what? I tell you what it is. The young kids these days. Yeah. The young kids these days don't like non-stick pans.
That's what it is. Well, Katie's parents are the same.
Wow.
They're suspicious of non-stick pans.
All I ever read is life expectancy going up and we were raised on non-stick pans.
Hasn't done us any harm. Here's the show.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
I left you during half term. The hardest week to broadcast.
Thank you so much. Really kind of you.
Hey, but speaking of half term, as I imagine a lot of parents who are listening to this show right now, been doing a lot of driving. My other half, Katie's family, live up in Northumberland. So that's quite a drive from Leon City.
That's a drive.
So yesterday, doing an 8-hour drive back from Northumberland back to Essex with the two youngest in the back, who are pretty sharp, Thea and Stella. They don't miss a trick, the 4-year-old and the 7-year-old. And can I just send a message to the people who make the sat-navs these days? Your Wazes, your Garmins, that kind of thing, right? The sat-nav technology has ruined the parent prerogative of being able to lie about how long you got left.
That's a very good point.
It's ruined it. It used to be the best thing. You could just make stuff up and the kids wouldn't know. But they would have a clue, would they? Now it's got a timer on that they can see the flag. They look out for the flag.
Not just the ETA, but, you know, giving you a specific time. But it will also say 8 hours, 42 minutes. And they're savvy enough to know.
Particularly when you've got like a horrible long trip like that. You can't lie about it. So it got me thinking yesterday about time trickery. Okay, so maybe we can talk about time trickery for the first hour of Home Time this evening. What tactics do you employ to placate your kids on long trips? Because I always used to work on the kind of T-minus 20 rule with however long it takes, take 20 minutes off it, and that's what you tell them when they incessantly say, are we nearly there yet? Have you got any kind of tactics that you use for these things?
What I would do is the following, and I employed this when we went up to Edinburgh on the train and was telling Rocco, and he said, how long are we on the train for? I'm like, 4 hours. Oh, 4 hours? How long is 4 hours like that? Rather than do the whole 4 hours thing, just say to them, oh, you could watch Jurassic World 2 times back to back.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly that is a completely different description of time. And they're for it. They're thinking, I can watch a film 2 hours. That's amazing.
And then literally just go and do it.
Exactly.
I mean, eight and a half hours. I was going to try and work that out in episodes of Bluey, but that's probably a little bit mind-boggling. Loz has got in touch to say, tell them a longer time, then it's a bonus when you arrive sooner.
Great idea.
Time trickery, parental time trickery. If you've done it during half term, you have a tactic that you employ to placate your kids on long trips if they're bored.
Wonderful suggestion from Morgan, who suggests you screenshot a journey that's only 30 minutes long. So when they look over at your phone, they'll just see the vehicle or arrow or whatever saying 30 minutes. And that way, none the wiser for at least a couple of hours anyway.
Machiavellian, and I like it, Ted in West Sussex says, afternoon, boys, you can always buy one of those old-fashioned Rolls Royces where the driver sits outside up front all alone in peace and quiet. He says, and he can't hear the kids moaning. You may have to enter the draw to win the £475,000 to buy one.
Nice idea. When around 4 or 5 years old, my daughter invented a new unit of time, says this message. We used to say in a while to her while on long journeys. She then started to refer to things as in a couple of whiles.
That's good. I like that as a unit of measurement.
It's really good.
Might try that.
Kirsty, what do you do?
So I do a couple of things. So I, instead of saying minutes, I say miles, because miles go down a bit quicker. So how many miles have we got left? We've got 380 miles. Now we've got 350 miles. So they have that. But then I also do sort of markers to look out for. So I'll say, okay, you're looking for, number one will be the Kelpies. The second one will be the sign for this, the sign for that, the Welcome to England sign, etc. Wow. So that they're constantly looking out the window, trying to be the, because they're in competition with each other, so they're trying to spot who sees it first.
Brilliant. So what kind of ages are your kids and what kind of trips do you guys normally do? Because it sounds like you do a fair bit of mileage then.
Yeah, so 6 and 4 and...
Peak wise guy age, I would say. Wise guy age, yes. 6 and 4.
Yeah, a big journey. So family, we live in Scotland, but obviously you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not Scottish. So my family's in Surrey, so we do a lot of trips down to Surrey and back with them.
And you could definitely turn that into a competition, like you say. So, like, you know, 6-year-olds 1-0 up, but the 4-year-olds trying to sort of mount a comeback. They've got to spot that border sign or something or other.
This the Arsenal result last night really still is playing on your mind, isn't it?
Enough. Enough.
Sorry about that, Kirsty, but that's a great idea. So make a game of the trip home.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I know the journey well, so I know them things to look out for.
What, is it bad for me to ask what the Kelpies are? Sound like monsters. What are the Kelpies?
So they're big mythical horses. If you look them up on Google, you'll see them there.
How do you see a mythical horse the first time?
They're like statues. They're like a statue, almost like a Big Ben or the Eiffel Tower. They're the Scottish version of that, if you like.
Well, I think Richie and I need to book in on your next trip and we can play along too.
Yeah, absolutely. More than welcome.
You may find that your 6 and 4-year-old are better behaved in the back than we would be.
Oh, I don't know. There's so many snacks you can chuck back there.
Well, this is good to speak to you. Take care and thanks for getting involved.
No worries. Thanks.
This text says, Bush and Richie, we used to do Eddie Stobart spotting. I don't know if it's still a thing because we don't do road trips now and the kids are all grown up, but back then all the trucks had names and you used to be able to get a sheet from the internet that had the list on it and you could check them off if you saw them. It was a great game.
Definitely still a thing.
Wowee, can you still get the sheet off the internet?
Well,
I have to try it.
I hope so. I'd enjoy that myself. Yeah, you know, it's an element of spotting in that, really.
Well, listen, I've got the keys for the car. We'll have a little drive after the show, see what happens.
Tracy says, once my daughter was old enough, we started taking chewy sweets for the journey. One day we left her in charge of the fruit gums and she decided we could have one sweet each 15 minutes. Had to be on the dot. If we missed it, we had to wait for our next 15-minute marker. She was very strict, but it broke our regular 8-hour journeys to Scotland into 15-minute segments that was all about when you're having the next sweet.
Hey, I tell you what, the family got no teeth, but they have a brilliant laugh in the car. Earlier on, we talked about Eddie Stobart spotting. Someone suggested that. Apparently, Eddie Stobart spotting isn't a thing anymore, as they were taken over by another company. They're just put into different colours, and they've replaced girls' names with letters and 3 or 4 numbers.
Oh, dear.
That's not what you'd hope for. Oh, Steve T in Northumberland says, on a journey from Northumberland to Cadbury World in Birmingham, my son overheard the sat-nav say we would arrive in 4 hours. I told him that's only if I follow the sat-nav route, but I take the, in inverted commas, the expressway, which would save a couple of hours. On the way there, after about an hour of travelling, my son asked if we were nearly there yet. It was at that moment I told him he'd distracted me and I'd just missed the turn off for the expressway. And then now it would take the full 4 hours.
Incredible.
That's what a parental lesson that is. Thank you very much. I might try that next time.
Bush and Richie's
Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
I think it's fair to say in 2026 that big companies and big organisations try to stay away from controversial matters because no one wants to get mired in it. You've probably noticed on this show, we don't touch controversial matters. But I've been really surprised today to see a big organisation wade into a very controversial matter, which the consumer organisation have issued 5 rules of how to stack a dishwasher.
Oh, here we go.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, here we go. That'll put the cat amongst the pigeons, is that the phrase?
Yes, it certainly is, yes.
Separate the wheat from the chaff.
That too.
Yeah.
There might be a third, but let's go with the 5 rules instead.
Yeah.
So this is what Which are saying are the 5 rules for stacking a dishwasher.
This will be interesting because I'm accused normally of being quite a bad dishwasher stacker, so I'll be intrigued to see what they've got to say about this.
I'm going to say carefully, I'm not surprised that you pack a bad dishwasher.
Thank you very much. Thanks for knowing me so well.
I would also put my hands up and say I am fantastic at packing the dishwasher.
I'm not surprised by the fact that you're good at it, and I'm not surprised by the fact that you have that opinion of yourself about being good at it.
Now that we've got the low-level insults out the way...
That's why they don't get involved. No. That's why they don't get involved.
They don't, no. Because there's already tension now in the studio, and we don't even have a dishwasher in here. Number one, don't pre-rinse.
I don't even know what that means. What's that mean? Well, like, wash it off.
Yes.
We don't buy a dog and bark yourself, do you?
Oh, dear.
The Which are wasting their time.
If you normally listen to the full show and you ever hear the producer's pick at 5 to 7, at least you know what it is tonight. No, modern dishwashers have a sensor to detect how dirty water is, and so if you rinse everything off, it won't intensively wash things.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
Educational show. Rule number two, stack correctly.
Oh, great. Nice one, Which. No. Oh, God, you guys know what you're talking about, don't you?
No, the rule is, if you eat from it, put it on the lower rack. If you drink from it, put it in the upper rack.
I quite frequently put frying pans on the upper rack because it seems like there's more space up there.
Just remember what you've just said until we come to rule number 5.
Right, okay.
Number 3, place the dirtiest items in the centre of the dishwasher. That is because that is where the jets are and the spray intensity is highest.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
Number 4, use tablets and salt.
Okay, well, what else are you going to roll your own? Stupid bit of advice.
Number 5, avoid certain items, and they include pans and knives.
What?
Water blunts knives.
I'm not washing my own knives. I'm not having a dishwasher and doing any washing myself. That's the rules.
How have we ended up in an argument about this?
This is why big companies don't do it. Which remind me of, like, you know, like a mate who comes over for a dinner party and then starts up controversial conversations?
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Nigel. Don't go on like that, Nigel. Leave it, Nigel.
Why did you do that, Which?
Why did you bring it up? I have a right old go at them in the car on the way home. Mrs. Harkett's been on, and she says, hard agree with not putting pans and knives in the dishwasher. Get it together, lads.
That's a learning for me, because I have been putting knives in there.
Yeah, well, me too. And do you know what? I don't care what Which says. I'm going to continue to put knives in there.
What was a little argument has turned into the science of stacking a dishwasher.
Well, yeah, because we were just saying this whole thing about don't put knives. People saying don't put knives in there. Yeah. We put knives in our dishwasher, and we're fine. Robin Cornwall says, going on the pan thing, what if the pan specifically says dishwasher safe? He says, I agree on the knives, though. If you're someone that's happy to try and cut stuff with something about as sharp as a spoon, then crack on. Otherwise, keep them out.
Now, Aidan in Leicester gives the real scientific lowdown on this.
Oh.
Lads, the salt in the dishwasher works like a sandblaster does for paint in cars. It strips frying pans of non-stick and blunts your knives.
Was he like some kind of salt dishwasher whistleblower or something?
I don't know.
What is this, Silkwood, whatever that film is?
We're verging into science and education on the show tonight, so I think we'll veer away from that.
Absolute Radio, the Daily Takeaway.
It's time of the return of an old friend, isn't it?
It certainly is. Every Thursday, we offer you the chance to get help from the Hometime family by emailing us, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk. A problem shared is a problem halved.
It really, really is. And we've got a half-term special for you tonight. Listen to this. Amanda's got in touch. Says, Dear Bush and Richie, Amanda here. I've got all three kids tomorrow, 9, 10 and 14, as it's a half term and we don't have any childcare. In a moment of parental madness, I've promised all three of them a day of fun and activities, as they're always complaining that I work too much. Look, it's a week until payday, so the activities need to be cost effective, and I'm rubbish at this, but can your listeners please help me out with some great cheap activities for kids ideas? Amanda.
I've got one.
Go on, then.
This will cost nothing more than just like the petrol to get there.
To entertain three kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Go to the road by, I mean, for my airport would be Stansted.
Okay.
There's this little road nearby. Download Flight Radar on your phone and suddenly you're just watching planes.
That's good.
Yeah.
They do love a bit of Flight Radar. Weirdly, my suggestion for this is also plane-based. I've talked about this before. We've got a cafe near us, which is by the airport and the Holiday Inn. And quite regularly, I've taken the kids. In fact, my eldest daughter, Erin, is here with us today. I'm sure she's been there with me before. Where you go up to the top floor, cafe, sit there with a cup of coffee and watch the planes take off and land at Southend Airport.
This is it. The number one show for plane enthusiasts. We've just given two solutions. Basically, about plane spotting.
You might have an idea for this that isn't aviation-based, and that's completely fine.
Indeed, yes.
But if you can help Amanda out with some good, cheap, cost-effective kid entertainment ideas for the fact that she's got three kids looking after her. They're her own children. She's not going to have to...
9, 10 and 14. I think our ideas hit the nail with all those ages.
Yeah, except all three of those kids would be absolutely over the moon with that.
Ruthie in Hampshire suggests a trip to your nearest free art gallery and give each child a different thing they have to spot in the artwork. She says, my husband's favourite activity in an art gallery is spotting dogs in paintings. And there is a prize for the first person who gets to 25.
Do you know what? I was going to dismiss that out of hand, but that actually sounds like a brilliant game.
Doesn't it?
Spot the dog.
I really like this. Very modern one. Change the Wi-Fi password. Write clues tonight and strategically place them in and around the house with clues to different parts of the password.
So what? Basically like a treasure thingy?
Yes, because she can... A treasure hunt.
Treasure hunt, that's it.
And confirms at the end that the prize is the password.
Well, but do you know what, though? Given how crazy the kids go for being able to watch their tablets or devices, I think they'll love that.
Yes, I reckon they will.
More old school, this one. He says, cheapest and best day out for your kids is to hand them over to their grandparents. Quality time and completely free, says Gary, who is a granddad from Jarrow.
I like that. That's nice.
And he's got two R's in his name. Love a Gary with two R's. Dan in Chichester says, take them swimming. Kids love swimming and it's not expensive.
Oh, I don't know about that last bit.
I think it is kind of expensive, isn't it?
I think it can be as well.
Don't even get started on the snacks in the little cafe afterwards as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. They'll hit you up for something out of the machine or, a bowl of chips. That's the staple after a swim, isn't it?
Oh, I do love, back in the 80s, though, going to the vending machine for, like, a tomato soup in those orange plastic cups. Those were the days.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
There's the show. Hope you enjoyed it. If we may just finish off by talking about non-stick pan.
No one will have reached this point in the pub. No one's got this far in the episodes.
No.
They've all stopped.
Tell you what, let's do this, right? Just as an experiment, and this would be awful for us if no one gets in touch. If you're still listening by this point, and you thought, I want to hear more about the non-stick pan bit, drop us an email, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk.
No. Just if you're still listening at this point, all right? Because you added, and you want to hear more about non-stick pans.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So if you're still here now, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk. It's an experiment.